Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Well, let's start with some pitching. The good, the bad, and the ugly, because honestly, what the hell is going on in Queens? Like, in all seriousness, what is going on with the Mets? Because this pitching staff, I mean, I was very critical, and as were others, but I was very critical of Stearns, or I wouldn't even say very critical, I was concerned. I was concerned about how this rotation was put together. I was concerned about this pitching staff and how Stearns is trying to reimagine what was such a successful year last year. And sticking without attacking free agency, which they did obviously with the bats and Juan Soto, and not attacking free agency in the pitching angle, not going after Burns, who was there. They could clearly use a top-of-the-rotation starter, right? Sanga hasn't pitched in how long? Can't count on Manaea to be that guy. Can't count on Clay Holmes to be that guy. Can't count on even Peterson, who's been with the organization for how many years. Can't count on these guys to be that guy. Why not go get Burns? Don't laugh at the Yankees for signing Max Fried. Go bring in some top talent. You're trying to compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers, for crying out loud. And I know the offense is going to be great, but this pitching staff concerns me. How many things can you get right after all of the things you got right last year? How many things can you get right again? And I don't want to, and I know it's 9 games or 10 games, and I don't want to hear that it's against the Marlins. I don't want to hear it's against the Blue Jays, who scored some runs against the Red Sox last night. I don't want to hear anything other than, oh my God, and that's, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say OMG, I'm sorry. But honestly, other than what is going on with this pitching staff, and particularly the bullpen, it's unbelievable how good the Mets are pitching. They are the best pitching staff in baseball. It is not close. They have the lowest ERA in baseball. It is not close. And while the offense continues to struggle in this game again, yes, you finally get a big hit from Juan Soto, gives you the 1-0 lead. Taylor gives you a base hit to give you a secondary run in later in the game. But ultimately, this offense 1-for-10 again with runners in scoring position. And these are the conversations you can have. I'm watching the post game, and after winning their 5th consecutive game and the 4 played at Citi Field to open the season, and they have given up 3 runs in the 4 games played at Citi Field. 3 runs. So the conversation can be, well, listen, you know, Lindor, he's got three hits. He's not been quite as bad as he was last year. And Soto, we know how, you know, he's getting on base at a decent clip, but, you know, we don't expect he'll come around. And hey, those are really good look. Vientos really was looking at the ball pretty good. I mean, those at bats were far better, you know, hit a bullet and walk three times. I mean, Vientos is getting better. Meanwhile, they can't get a damn clutch hit to save their lives. They're hardly scoring any runs. They are the worst clutch hitting team in all of baseball. 1-for-10 again with runners in scoring position. They are not scoring runs, and yet they are on a 5-game winning streak because everybody who comes out of the pen gets it done. The pitching staff, the starters, have been solid. They haven't gotten deep into the game yet. And Kodai Senga obviously was not pushed in the, you know, in the 70 pitch count here. Hasn't pitched in a long time. It's early. It's freezing to the point they're moving games. Both the Yankees and the Mets have had games moved this week due to cold weather, which I guess we can have a conversation about. And I don't care how cold it is. I won 162 games. Don't you dare suggest anything else. But we can have some fun with that at 888-808-1019. But, I mean, the pitching staff, it's not going to last forever. And that's like these. This is the conversations you can have. I'm listening to the post game, and it's those things about the offense. It's also, well, you know, we can't expect it to last forever. I mean, eventually, I don't know. Because, like, what they have done, and I know we joke about the pitching lab, and I'm certainly not going to tell you, all right, as impressed as I am, and I mean I am impressed, I don't know if the Mets are necessarily doing anything smarter or better or have some sort of pitching lab with answers that nobody else has. But right now, for whatever reason, you give it to Stearns, you give it to Hefner, you give it to this organization that right now they have a pitching staff of, and I don't want to belittle them because they have talent, but they are putting a patchwork duct tape staff together of, you know, let's be honest, a talented pitcher in Senga, no doubt, but hasn't pitched in a long time. They're converting relievers. They're counting on some of the worst pitchers in Major League Baseball over the last couple of years, and in Griffin Canning, and, you know, guys who've had trouble sticking with the team or being successful with the Mets in McGill and Peterson. Like, they haven't even got Manaea back yet. And it's not even the starting rotation that's been good, although Senga gives you 5 shutout innings in this game. It's the bullpen. And in this game, you know, because they've thrown so much, because the starting pitching hasn't gone deep, you're going to be without Diaz. You're going to be out without Kranich. You're probably going to be without Reed Garrett. And yet, anybody who comes in, whether it's Buteau, I guess that's how I'm now pronouncing his name, Buteau, he comes in. We've seen over the last couple of years his ability to give you multiple innings, his ability to get outs, what he's done. I mean, Danny Young comes into this game, the one pitcher who hasn't been successful in the Mets so far this year, and he gives you a shutdown inning. Like, this bullpen, and we talk so much about bullpen management, and I don't want to say this to Bull, because we're going to get into the Yankees in just a second and their pitching. And Aaron Boone's pitching decisions get so much. I mean, whatever he does, it's, if anyone gives up a run, it's Aaron Boone's fault. But, like, and this isn't to belittle what Mendoza's doing right now, because he is doing a tremendous job. But it doesn't matter who he goes to. Like, we could talk, like, I want to give him credit, I do, but it doesn't matter who he brings in, when he brings them in, where he brings them in, the circumstances of when he brings them in. Everybody from Diaz to Minter to Stanek to Kranich to Reed Garrett to Buteau to Brazoban, I mean, everyone they bring in has gotten the job done. It is remarkable. And I know that, you know, 4 of these games have been against the Marlins. I don't care. That is a major league team that currently is .500. This Mets pitching staff and the way they're carrying this team early on. And I know we don't get too hung up on wins early. And I know that it's only 10 games and they're 7-3. But I talked about it yesterday. And it feels more and more as every game goes by. This offense eventually, as you are starting to see Lindor come through, and yeah, a couple of bloop hits, but 3 hits in the game, right? You're starting to see, hopefully Vientos snap out of it, 3 walks in the game, having better at-bats. Alonso's been hot from the start. You know, Nimmo's probably going to get going here. He's up and down, you know the nature. But this offense, and we haven't even seen the best of Juan Soto yet, a big double in the gap to give them the early lead in this game, but He has not been vintage Soto, other than he's getting on base at a good clip. But he really hasn't done damage with the bat. Hasn't driven the baseball. Hasn't had that big hit. Has been underwhelming through 10 games for the $750 million contract. Not bad. Still very good. Just not Juan Soto through 10 games. And you know that that is going to change. You know what Lindor is going to be over the course of the year. I feel pretty confident, and I would imagine most Met fans feel pretty confident, that we can have a pretty good guess on what Vientos is eventually going to be this year. You don't do it all. You don't do it for as long as he did last year. You don't do it into the playoffs and then turn into a pumpkin. He might not have the year we hoped and take that next step forward, but he is going to be a very good, powerful third baseman in this league. And this offense is going to turn it around. And this is the yin and yang of a baseball team, where the pitching will eventually falter a little bit and you'll be needed to rely upon the offense that hopefully will come through. But right now, watching this offense go out there and game after game, I mean, other than the Alonso home run and the triple from Winker, I mean, you're talking about consistent malaise, especially through the start of these games. You know, and again, they are facing teams that don't throw great pitchers at you. Yeah, Houston might throw the first two, you know, Brown and Valdez are good pitchers, but besides that, you know, and Alcantara they saw, but, you know, they have, there's no reason why the Mets should be consistently shut down like this offensively. And if it weren't for this pitching staff, that would be the conversation. But we get to say things like, hey, Lindor's not as bad as last year, he's coming around. Oh, Vientos had three walks last night. Like, because it doesn't matter, because they don't give up runs. And it's, when you look at how they've done this, and then you go back to, if this continues, and you saw what they did last year and what they're doing this year, I mean, there's no other way to put it. You can never doubt Stearns ever again. Like, whatever they're doing with this pitching department, whatever they are doing, it has led to guys who I don't have faith in, who you don't have faith in, a rotation that we had question marks, I had question marks, you had question marks, come into the season, and while not dominant from the starting rotation because they're not getting deep into games, they don't give up runs, and they're turning it over to a bullpen that can't do it forever, but as of right now is by far the best in baseball. And every single player that, if Mendoza walks out to the mound, the guy coming in is the right guy. It has been an unbelievable run. They are now 7-3 on a 5-game heater and have given up 3 runs in 4 games at Citi Field. It has been a remarkable start to the season for this rotation, for this pitching staff, who, going back to what, June of last year? Now, this is a continuation. Not all the same names, some same names, but you are talking about a continuation from the middle of the season last year through now, where they are the best pitching staff in all of baseball. And they're not doing it with Max Fried. They're not doing it with Corbin Burnes. They're not doing it with Paul Skeens. They're doing it with, you know, Senga, who's talented, and a bunch of pitchers who have good stuff. I mean, they're major league pitchers. But this staff is doing it with names that you would not expect to pitch at this level. Griffin Canning, and then the bullpen, which is really the story. I mean, Reed Garrett, you know, Max Kranick. Like, these are the guys who are pitching the Mets through an early season offensive malaise. And as long as the offense struggles and they pitch like this, you count every single one of these wins, you put it in your back pocket, and you treasure them, because this is the sign of a good team. This is what good teams do. Good teams, when one part of their game struggles, another part rises to cover it up. And this pitching staff has been covering up a putrid clutch hitting in specific lineup to carry them to 5 straight wins, 4, you know, 4 at Citi Field, an undefeated home schedule so far, and reason to believe that this team is capable of anything, because we are seeing something I did not think we would see, and it's only 10 games in. Now let's get to the Yankees and Carlos Rodon for a second, because I have defended Carlos Rodon over the first 2 starts of this year. I've been taking the slings and arrows for it from guys like Sean Marash and others around. I was pleased with the first 2 starts by Carlos Rodon. Very pleased. In fact, I thought, and I said as much, the first start of the year, the opening day, I thought that was the best pitch game by Carlos Rodon we had ever seen. His pick, Mitch. He was able to throw breaking balls over for strikes early in the count. He was able to get swings and misses. Well, he threw the slider 15 times, got 9 swing and misses. He had good stuff. He was locating. He had an at-bat where he threw 3 consecutive changeups for a strikeout. He had a good mix. He had a good feel. And he was more than just raring back and trying to blow it by you and fool you with a slider. He was out there pitching. And I loved it. And I thought it was the best performance of the year. And maybe the best performance, it was the best pitching performance of the year so far for me. And you could argue it's the best performance we have seen Carlos Rodon pitch in a Yankee uniform when you take into all the consideration. He's had more dominant days. He's had days where the fastball played up higher and maybe even got more strikeouts. But that was a legitimately well-pitched game. You followed up with a second start where he had absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Couldn't locate his fastball. He was throwing at 91 miles an hour, had absolutely nothing, gave up some early runs, and then found himself. And I wanted to give him some credit. I wanted to say, you know what? He didn't have a damn thing. He didn't have his good stuff. And that typically leads to 6 or 7 runs and 3 innings for Carlos Rodon. That's typically what we see from him. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he got them through 6 with Cookie Carrasco on the mound the next day, saved the bullpen, got the last 10 guys in a row. Let's take this as a positive of Carlos Rodon. Well, what we saw yesterday is the atypical same crap that we see from Carlos Rodon over the course of his Yankee career. Because yesterday, he wasn't pitching the way he pitched in the first game, and he didn't have nothing like he did in his second start. He did actually have good stuff, and we'll get to Boone's comments, and I know everybody goes off on him, and even I think they're ridiculous. But he did have good stuff. You can say both things, and that's what's frustrating about him. What's frustrating about him is I did think he was locating. I did think he had his good fastball. I did think he was able to throw the slider for strikes and down in the zone for swing and misses. I thought over the first 2 innings, he looked like we were going to get another dominant performance from Carlos Rodon, which this team desperately needs in the situation the starting rotation is in. And yet, here we go with the same crap, the same inability to overcome anything. And that's the story of Carlos Rodon. He is unable to overcome anything. Now, he got through 6. His not willing to overcome or not being able to overcome has looked uglier at times where he just gets beat up all over the place, and that wasn't the case, but 5 runs in 6 innings is unacceptable. And you go to that 3rd inning, he does get a miserable call. He has the 9-hitter struck out. There is no doubt. That is a slider down but in the zone. And it's a bad call, and he walks the 9-hitter, and he walks 8-9. And then instead of being able to overcome that strike, instead of being able to pitch through that issue and to take that bad break and manage to work around it, like a pitcher who is expected to be right now with everything going on, a pitcher who they need to be a top of the rotation guy, a pitcher they need to rely on while they don't have Luis Gil, while they don't have, obviously, Cole the entire season. He's going to have to be that secondary pitcher right behind Max Fried. And he's getting paid a hell of a lot of money to do so. And he can't overcome that. He gives up a 3-run home run to Ibanez. And then the same issue pops up in the 5th where Oswaldo Cabrera boots a ball. The leadoff hitter of the inning, Oswaldo Cabrera at third base, playing far shift against the left-handed batter, has a ground ball right to him, and he boots it. And you know that Carlos Rodon is going to give up runs. You know it. And that's what's frustrating about him. And for the first 2 starts, I saw slightly different. I have to admit, the first 2 starts, I honestly was starting to believe. And now this is 1 of 3. Even if it was great, I wouldn't suddenly tell you I have uber confidence that this guy that we saw yesterday won't be back again. But the fact of the matter is right now this Yankee team, who is still scoring a ton of runs, and the offense went completely limp the last couple of days. Right? They've been averaging 9 runs a game. It's hard to absolutely kill them, but they did nothing in this game, couldn't get anything going. I know it's freezing in Detroit. I don't care. It's freezing for everybody. But Carlos Rodon continues to prove that whenever anything goes against them, whether it's a call, whether it's a swinging bunt rolling down the line for that perfect, you know, BS hit, or whether it's an error behind them, or whether an act of God, I don't know. But whatever it is, the second it happens, Carlos Rodon can't overcome it and can't get out of a jam, no matter how good his stuff is. And that's what's frustrating about him. And it's the same thing over and over again. And it's something he is going to have to overcome if the Yankees are going to want to be where they want to be at the end of the year. Now, they can have the trade deadline to attack the starting pitching, and they're going to get Luis Gil back. And we are only a couple days away, hopefully, from seeing Ian Hamilton is supposed to join the team tomorrow in the back end of the bullpen. That should help this bullpen that's been throwing Adam Ottavino in relatively important situations. And we're expecting Clark Schmidt back in the near future. And things should pick up in the pitching department because they are short man to start the year with injuries. But none of that changes how important Carlos Rodon is to this team. We don't have to like it. We can say, oh, that means they're screwed. I don't know if it means they're screwed, but there's no changing the fact. However you feel about him, he is extremely important. With the injuries they've suffered in the rotation, he is extremely important to this team. And he's got to be more like opening day than he was the same old miserable bum who can't overcome a single negative thing that happens in a given game against a Detroit lineup that has a couple of good hitters in it, but is not a good overall lineup. You can't be walking the 8-9 hitters, and then you can't fold the second you're presented with an opportunity to. He never battles through. And it's frustrating again. Now, they didn't score any runs. That's part of the reason. Ben Rice getting picked off at third base. There's a lot of reasons why they lost this game. There's a lot of reasons why they lost the end of the game, in the end of the series in Pittsburgh. There's reasons why they lost both 2 out of 3 to Arizona. But the team is still 6-4. The offense has still been very good. And they've been able to win some games here. And they're playing in the freezing cold. I'll give the offense a break for one day. But they got to stop striking out, and Carlos Rodon has got to find himself. 888-808-1019. We'll get more into the baseball conversation. Obviously, I want to play the Aaron Boone comments that I know a lot of people are upset about with Carlos Rodon, and I want to kind of nitpick it and kind of... Even I am frustrated when I watch Carlos Rodon and then I watch post-game shows. It's frustrating. But the Mets are unstoppable. The pitching department is unbelievable. They are the best pitching staff in baseball, and they are doing it again. 5 in a row for the Mets. Yankees lose the first game in Detroit. Both teams will be playing in the afternoon. The Yankees at 1 o'clock and the Mets at 4 o'clock, moved to from night games because of the weather. We'll get to the national championship game as the Florida Gators are now 3-time national champions. We'll get to a little bit of a football conversation. We got plenty to do. The Rangers lose again, and the season's over. So 888-808-1019, plenty to get to. McMonagle here with you as I take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball to start the show. We'll get to a bunch of different things, including the Rangers, Houston's inability to have a functioning offensive possession in the last three possessions of the game. Couldn't get a shot off as they blow a 12-point lead in the national championship in a tournament that kind of will be, I don't know. I don't think it will be remembered for the Duke blow up, the Duke choke, and then I think it's a little bit of a lesser extent of a choke because Florida's really, I think Duke was the best team in the country. I do. I think Duke would have won by 20 points in this game if they didn't choke down the stretch of that Houston game. I do. I think Duke was the best team in the country, and they really choked. Houston had a 12-point lead, but it was down to three with like 7 minutes left or so. So I didn't. The choke job that you'll refer to Houston is that they just couldn't give you an offensive possession down the stretch, including the final possession of the game where Clayton closes out on a three from Houston and he doesn't get it off and kind of just drops it and then realizes he can't dribble it. So it just bounces away to end the game. Grab the ball, even if it's a penalty. They'll blow the whistle and you'll still have 3 or 4 seconds. You foul them, they go to the line, at least the game continues. Don't let the ball just waste away as the game ends. I mean, just a hideous game and really a tournament that had all four ones in the final four. Kind of a ho-hum matter of fact with then the final four with Duke and then the national championship game with two teams just absolutely blowing the end of game situations. So congratulations to the Florida Gators. It's their first win since, I think, 07 when they won back-to-back, that great back-to-back team. But we'll start with the baseball and Carlos Rodon and the Mets pitching to start the day because there wasn't much offense, and that doesn't seem to matter for the Mets. It's very important for the Yankees. But the Mets right now continue to roll 5 in a row, win this game 2-0 yesterday, and have given up 3 runs in 4 games. In the first 4 games at Citi Field this year, their pitching has been otherworldly. And again, I'm going to get on Boone. We're going to play a little bit of Boone because I'm baffled at some of his comments in the postgame today. But like, it's Mendoza. We joke about, oh, you got the hardest part of a manager's job is to manage the bullpen. Well, right now, that is the easiest part of Mendoza's job. It doesn't matter who he brings in. I mean, Everybody is pitching their ass off. It's amazing. Let's go to the calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kevin in Copeg. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, Z-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
Let's talk a little bit of Big Three. We're talking Big Three baseball. The Dodgers got, Mookie leads off, Freddie Freeman, then Shohei.
I think Shohei leads off, unless they changed it.
I don't know what it is, but Freddie Freeman, though, 35 years old.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one of the newspapers called the Mets Big Three, Lindor, Soto, Alonso.
Yeah.
I mean, 15 years. I mean, hopefully.
Well, it's not going to be for 15.
Can come through.
Yeah, it's not going to be for 15 years. I don't think Lindor, and honestly, I think Pete, this is the last year with Pete, would be my guess.
He's leaving?
Yeah, I would think so.
Who's playing first? Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. I don't know who's going to be on first. Again, this is just the prediction. He's going to opt out because he's going to have a good year. So he's not going to opt into his contract because he's going to want a long-term deal. Now, will the Mets be willing to give it to him? This offseason, it felt like they clearly were not willing to give him a long-term deal, along with everybody else. But now you see the contract that Vladimir Guerrero just signed. So, one, Vladimir Guerrero isn't going to be on the market. Two, that's the first real enormous contract given to a first baseman. And if Pete has an enormous year, he doesn't have a pick attached to him like he did last year because the Mets offered him the qualifying offer. So he had a pick. Wherever he went was going to cost that team who signed him picks. That's not going to be the case this year. I just think there's going to be a lot of other options, and I don't know how the Mets feel about him yet. Now, we'll see. Maybe he has such a great year you can't imagine moving on from him, but I have a feeling that he's going to opt out and the Mets aren't going to sign him long term.
These guys are dropping like flies, though. I mean, Guerrero, the Blue Jays, looks like Kyle Tucker. I mean, the Cubs, they got some money. They're going to lock this guy down.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. I don't know how they're going to do it. But, yeah, but as far as, like, the big three, I'm trying to be Met positive here. But I would still, I mean, yeah, over the next however many years, but because Soto's so young, but Otani's kind of in his prime. Betts, I don't think, is going to age poorly. And Freddie Freeman, yeah, he's 35, but he's been incredible. I would still, over the next couple years, tell you that those three are probably better than the Met three. But, yeah, I mean, listen, Soto's going to be here for 15 years. It's going to be a long run with Soto. I don't know how many more years Lindor has. At least another five, right? So you're talking about in a five-year window? It should be if they retain Pete. But right now it's almost like the offense is secondary to the idea that they can go out. Like, this is why I talked about it. And thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Kevin. This is what makes the Mets unique, right? Because if you ask me, they should give money to Pete Alonso. Like, right now, with what they're doing in the pitching department, if this is how they are going to handle the pitching, and this is what they're going to get from it, like, if they're going to be able to turn relievers into starters, if they're going to be able to go sign arguably the worst starting pitcher who made 30 starts last year, the worst pitcher in baseball last year who took the ball every fifth day, was probably Griffin Canning. Right? He was good enough to keep his job, but bad enough to be the worst at it. So, like, nobody who made a start every fifth day was as bad as Griffin Canning, and now he's gotten really two good starts. Sean Manaea was relegated to the bullpen in San Diego and San Francisco. Peterson has had moments in his Met career, but nothing where Met fans wouldn't have been happy to see them sign a free agent and push Peterson aside. And maybe not this offseason because he was great last year, but last offseason certainly. And then McGill, same thing. Up and down, doesn't trust this stuff, throws 98, but, you know, part of that was the starter for that combined no-hitter. You know, he's had his moments as a Met, but ultimately underachieving and underwhelming. And yet, this is the rotation. And then the bullpen with, high-priced closer in Diaz, no doubt. But, and, you know, Minter was like the fourth or fifth best reliever with the highest contract in this offseason, if it was even that high. But you got Minter, you know, Buteau, Brazoban, Reed Garrett, who they picked up off the scrap heap last year. Like, we talk about, and I know I was listening to Keith. I understand we want to have this Met-Yankee dynamic. We're so desperate for it. And sometimes we play into it. And sometimes I find it boring and tedious. And I care more about the baseball than the nonsense and which Yankee fan showed up to Citi Field and what, you know, Met fan dressed up in Juan Soto regalia showed up to Yankee Stadium and who's chanting what. And like, you want to call about that? You're more than welcome. I find it less interesting than the actual baseball being played on the field. But we compare this team with the Yankees so often. The Yankees have done a remarkable job of building bullpens with no names. Like, that's the one thing. We could talk about the rotation really not being that good, despite having some, you know, guys. And it's always been okay, but they've had to spend in free agency. And they found Luis Gil, sure, and Clark Schmidt's pretty good. They haven't done a terrible job with it in recent future, but they really haven't developed anybody. The offense comes and goes. Juan Soto last year led it to be the best offense in the American League, but it's had its times. The one thing you can point to with Brian Cashman is, without question, they're going to find the Chad Greens of the world. They're going to get guys from inside their system. They're going to get guys off the scrap heap. They're going to go make a trade, Mike Tauchman for Wandy Peralta, and he's going to be their best reliever for 2 years. They're going to go get Clay Holmes from Pittsburgh and turn him from a middling mid-reliever into two-time All-Star closer. Like, they have done a really good job. Brian Cashman and the Yankees have done a really good job of building a bullpen out of nothing. This, so far, from the Mets through 10 games, is as good a job, and I don't want to say out of nothing, because Buto was a pitching prospect who was supposed to be a starter. They've transitioned to the bullpen and has been really good since he did it. And Diaz had arguably one of the better closer seasons we've seen in the last 10 years, a couple of years ago. And Minter has had a nice career. But, I mean, what they're doing right now, it's crazy. And they're getting it from everybody. I mean, it is remarkable. Like, we could talk about, and again, this isn't to badmouth Mendoza, and I hope it doesn't come off that way. I know I'm such a boon shill, and I'm going to try and get into that in a little bit, that people will take it this way, but he doesn't have, like, right now, like, there's everyone he brings in has been great. He's done some really good things. He leaves in Winker against the lefty to hit the triple off the wall. He pinch runs for Vientos last night in the seventh or eighth inning, and that it leads to the run on the base hit from Taylor. Like, he's done a really good job, and forget all just the in-game stuff. Like, he's just been a really solid manager for them, and he's created a real good feel in that clubhouse. He's done an incredible job. But right now, anyone, and I know we say this and I laugh at people who say it, but quite honestly, anyone right now could manage this Met bullpen, because it doesn't matter who you bring in. Who pitched yesterday? Reed Garrett? All right, anybody but Reed. Like, it's that simple. It's been an incredible first 10 games, and it's amazing. And Stern said it, and he spoke to the media before the game yesterday. And he talked about it. He's like, yeah, the bullpen. He's like, we wouldn't have this record. They would not be winning. They have not played winning baseball. Let's be totally honest. Offensively, even, defensively, they've been okay. But they've made their share of mistakes. I guess every team does. But they've not played winning baseball. They have not hit home runs, really. They have not hit, other than Pete, they have not hit in the clutch other than once or twice. Like, they are one of the worst teams in baseball at runs in scoring position. And yet they're 7-3 and on a 5-game winning streak because they don't give up runs. And everybody in the bullpen's been amazing. The bullpen right now is carrying this team, and you'll love to see it because it won't need to be carried that much longer. The offense will eventually start to carry this team, and the bullpen can take a break. But while the offense is struggling, to have that unit step up and do what it's done has really been remarkable. Let's go to Dan in Long Beach. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how we doing? Long time. Yep.
Yes, what's up?
So, everybody's talking about, like, Yankees fans worrying about Soto. Mm-hmm. The same kind of thing I saw tonight, Rangers game. People doing the popping.
Well.
Chant. Like, come on.
Well, listen.
I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I've always thought it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
But,
let's worry about our own teams. We both got to, make the playoffs. As far as the Yankees go, we got to start the season off right. As far as the Rangers, we got to win the game. You can't be doing chants like that. Down 3-1. Down 4-1.
I appreciate you, Dan, and thank you for the call. I'm gonna push back a little bit. That has now become culture of going to a Ranger game. I agree with you that it's stupid. I've said this forever. I think it's an opportunity for idiots to prove they can whistle. Like, I've made that joke a million times. I've been in, we just talked about Alex Ovechkin yesterday breaking Wayne Gretzky's record. I've been to countless you know, back when we were allowed to go to the Garden, I went to countless Ranger playoff games. I mean, I went to every single home playoff game the Rangers had during that, you know, Captain Cali and, you know, obviously Hank and that team's run. Like, I went to all those games. And, you know, they're playing the Capitals in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's 2-2 in the third period. And then all of a sudden, some guy's got to go, starts whistling. I'm just like, why are we doing Potvin sucks now? Can we focus on the game? And they'll tell me, oh, it's because we're trying to, you know, get the crowd into it. I don't know. I've always thought it was stupid. But it's not quite the same as a Yankee fan going to Citi Field right now, or a Yankee fan at Yankee Stadium chanting F Juan Soto, or like, these are a little bit new. That is an old tradition that I agree is stupid, but it's been baked in to what going to a Ranger game is all about and what you'll do every game, no matter who they're playing. This, and again, I think it's stupid and I wish they would stop. I really do feel that way. I really do. I wish they would stop. But that's not the same as what's going on right now. Right now, what has happened, and if you want to get into it, we can, but what has happened is the Met fan has got under the skin of the Yankee fan, because the Met fan has finally had the balls to really do it. And I know there'll be the Met fan who goes, we've been chanting Yankee suck forever. Yeah, but not with real belief, and not with enough belief in your venomous words to have the Yankee fans actually pay attention to you. So now you have in your minds, and I'm not even arguing this, I'm just going to say it how the Met fan is feeling. The Met fan is feeling, I'm not saying this is true or untrue, the Met fan is feeling that they have the richest owner in baseball, which is a fact. They have the smartest GM in baseball, and with the way he's handled this pitching staff, it's hard to argue. They have Juan Soto. They have the better farm system. They have the better team. They had an incredible year last year with a lot of fun and incredibly clutch hits. They were in the NLCS. They won one more game against the Dodgers than the Yankees did, who got embarrassed in the World Series. And somehow that's become a negative, making it to the World Series and having it go that way. And it just feels like the Met fan feels, and Juan Soto chose the Mets. He chose the Mets. Because the money was close enough where a Met fan can tell himself, and again, I'm not saying this is true or false, I'm just saying how a Met fan feels. The Met fan can tell himself or herself that, hey, the money was close enough. What's a couple million bucks? What's a you know, free suite? What's clothes for his mother? We all know he chose the Yankees because he chose the owner and he chose the direction of the franchise. He saw us as a better landing spot than the great pinstripes and traditions of Yankee Stadium. And that has swelled their hearts three times the size. They are the Grinch on the way back returning the Christmas presents. That's who Met fans are. Their hearts have been swelled up three times its size. And instead of bringing presents to the Who's, they're bringing crap to the Yankee fan. And the Yankee fan doesn't like it. And the Yankee fan thinks, I don't care how rich your owner is. I don't care how smart you think your executives are. And I don't care what Juan Soto thinks. We were in the World Series last year, and you're going to have to do a hell of a lot more than have a good offseason to be the big brother in town. And so here we are. And it's gotten to pitch fever, and the Met fan is rolling with it, and I don't blame him. And it's all fun for the most part, except if, I don't know, hopefully no one's getting hurt with idiots showing up to the opposite ballpark when the Yankees and Mets aren't playing to do all this nonsense. So I guess this all started with last night. There was some chance. I was watching a little bit of Evans Rico Bronya. So I guess there was a little bit of some guy in a Yankee, you know, chanting "Let's go Yankees" in Yankee garb, and it created a little bit of an issue at the ballpark last night. It's so dumb. It's so stupid. And just be, you know, I don't know. I don't want to sound like your parents, but like, just be safe, because people get hurt over this kind of stupid stuff, man. It's crazy. And who really cares? It's all about fun. We're all having fun here. Both teams are good. Both teams are going to be good. Both teams are playoff teams. And there's no reason to have this animosity. But this is mainly, and it's not to say, like, this started with Juan Soto and the Met fans' sudden excitement, and good for you. I mean, I do agree you got to do some winning before you declare yourself the big brother, but that's okay. Have some fun with it. I'm more concerned with how good they are and how the pitching has been remarkable. I don't really care so much about whether or not they're better than the Yankees. Why would you care? You're not playing the Yankees. The Yankees aren't in your division. You don't have to beat the Yankees to make it to the postseason. You don't have to worry about the Yankees until you get to the World Series. And then they have to be there. And that's how I feel about the Mets. That's why I don't harbor this ill will. I mean, people, you know, will I take digs at them? Sure, because I'm human. And we have fun. And I get enough digs thrown at me that I'll throw one back every once in a while when it's appropriate. But I don't hate the Mets because I don't play the Mets. I don't compete with the Mets. The games against the Mets are as unimportant as they can be. It's playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. It doesn't matter. They're not in the American League, and they're not in the division. I don't give a damn. I hope they win every single game that they don't play the Yankees. Why would I not? I don't care, and especially against the Blue Jays or any other American League team. I was thrilled they swept those frauds away in Toronto. And that's the other angle I saw, like, the idea, like, I am thrilled. You think I care? As a Yankee fans, you can let me know. I would have been happy that he's with the Mets. I don't care. And I don't care he's with the Blue Jays. Vladimir Guerrero signing a 14-year, $500 million contract. That team's a bunch of frauds. I mean, he's got 15 years now to find a group that's not frauds around him, but this team is fraud. They are frauds. I have no fear of the Toronto Blue Jays. I have no fear whatsoever. But we'll see how it impacts them and see how it impacts this market, see how it impacts Pete Alonso. Because I do think now, not only is no one there, the obvious answer, although there's the left-handed swinging stud first baseman in Japan, who I know the Yankees are very high on. But that was the clear response if they were going to move on from Pete, 27 years old. They have that kind of money. You could sign that kind of contract. Even with the hesitation that Steve Cohen talked about with having these multiple long-term, high-valued contracts, that was the guy you figured that they could transition to. Now he's gone. So for Pete, two positive things. One, he's gone. Two, he made $500 million, and it's the first real big-time contract given to a first baseman. Even Matt Olson didn't get paid like that. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Mac. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. You know, just to touch on that, because I was thinking the same thing. I mean, even in the past number of years, you know, they've always seemed to have, you know, not do well in the beginning against the teams that they should be beating. And, you know, you always hear, oh, well, it's early in the season.
Right.
But against the teams in your division, they matter. It doesn't matter when in the season. They matter when you beat them. So
right.
The fact that they're beating the Marlins, which they, you know, on paper they should.
Yeah.
You know, that they're doing it so far is a good thing.
It's obviously a good thing. And I know they don't play as many games with the new balance schedule. But when they would, you know, it's still the division. And I've seen, you know, the Yankees, there was like a 3-year span a couple of years ago that the division, you could look at the way the Red Sox, the Rays, and the Yankees played the Baltimore Orioles. And depending on how many games they beat the Orioles and beat up on a bad 100-loss Orioles team, that's who won the division. Like, they played them 19 times. The team that won 11 out of 19 didn't win the division. The team that won 16 out of 19 won the division. Like, how you beat up on the dregs of your division, especially when you have teams like Atlanta and Philadelphia in your division, it's important to beat the Marlins. I was saying this on the opening weekend.
That's why everyone's, you know, says that the AL Central is suspect because,
yeah.
I mean, look at the White Sox last year. I mean, they were dreadful, and every team in that division beat them handily, and, you know, but yet when it came around time to play the better teams, they struggled. I mean, that's, you know, it just goes to say now, I mean, the West, I think, in the NL is going to be, at least so far, it looks
like. Well, I mean, right now, the Giants are the hottest team in baseball. It's crazy.
Yeah,
there's like four losses between the top three teams in that division. It's crazy.
Right. Now I don't know how sustainable that is. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point they'll fall off, but that certainly sounds like it's. And I gotta I got to look at the schedule. I'm not sure when the Mets go out there, because I know that's usually an interesting time. But the I'm not counting, you know, when they play the A's, because that's a minor league park. But when they play those three teams out there in the NL, that should be interesting, depending on the timing. So, but anyway, yeah, good.
They're going to play the A's next. They're off on Thursday, and then they fly to, Sacramento that they're playing in?
Yeah, you got to be careful how you say it. Apparently, they correct everybody if you say the ballpark wrong. I don't know. That's what I've heard. But, I don't know. Do they play an NL team after the A's? I'm not sure.
No, they go to Minnesota. And then they come back home. They go out west in May. They go out west to Arizona. Then in June, the first week of June, they go out west for the Dodgers in Colorado. And then
it's crazy. It's always June.
End of July, they go to San Francisco and San Diego.
Yeah, it seems like they always start off in June. They're early June, they seem out west for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's why they always get hit with that June swoon that they throw out.
The June swoon out in the West Coast, the famous June swoon of 22. Yeah. Yes, yeah. And thank you for the call, Eric. Listen, these are important games. There's no doubt. And again, I don't want to hear it from Yankee fans or anybody else who wants to say anything. Like, I don't want to hear it's the Marlins. Sorry. This is a Major League Baseball team. They're 5-5. They've gotten off to a decent start. They're not a great lineup. I know it. They've given up 3 runs in the first 4 games at Citi Field. 3 runs. They gave it up. You know, they pitched like this against Toronto, too. This bullpen and what they're doing right now and this rotation and this overall pitching staff, I don't care that it's, even though it's only been 10 games, impressive. No matter who they're playing, whether it's the Blue Jays or the Marlins or whomever, impressive. There is no getting around being dominant like this. There's no, it's against this team. Met fans and Yankee haters wanted to tell me about Pittsburgh. Like, let losers be the ones to tell you how bad your opponent is. All you could do is play the people in front of you. All you could do is play the teams in front of you. And right now, the Marlins, who are in their division, are in front of them. The Blue Jays were in front of them. And they are pitching as well as any team I can remember. The bullpen in particular, nobody gives up runs. 888-808-1019. All right, quick break. When we come back after the update, I'm going to play some Boone sound on his opinion on how Carlos Rodon went that I don't understand, and I know it doesn't do him any favors with the fan base. So we'll get to Boone's comments. We'll get to Brian Dable and who he's having lunch with or dinner with. We'll get back to the baseball conversation. We'll talk a little Rangers. I still got you for 2 more hours as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just 2 lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.